You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
And there we are. We are now live for another episode of the Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. That was Father Evil talking about Deadly Grounds Coffee, our sponsor here. And, you know, now more than ever, we need to support local businesses, local creatives. And Deadly Grounds, they're a little mom and pop shop here in Connecticut. We absolutely love them. I'm drinking them right now, Jeff, by chocolate.
I'm not, because
Kevin, you drinking coffee?
It's 9:05, and I need to sleep at some point. So, no, I'm not drinking coffee, but I do. It's Deadly Grounds is my jam. Hello, everybody.
Stop. Sleep's overrated. Tony.
What is going on? I don't drink coffee either, so.
Tony, would you like to introduce our awesome guest?
I will. We have on tonight the writer and director of the new fan film Voorhees, Cody Falk. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I hope you guys are doing well, and thank you so much for having me on tonight, guys.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, definitely. So the one thing I just to start off. I mean, we've seen some fan films before, and you know, a lot of them are decent. This first off, it's like a feature length. And which I was surprised, because usually the fan film's a little shorter, but it's like the quality is extremely high, it's almost too bad that it's about, you know, it's tied into Crystal Lake, because I think that this could stand on its own. Like, I think the story is good enough where it could stand on its own without even having Jason involved. That being said, I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan, so either way, I like it. But yeah, so this is your first, this is your directorial debut, is that right?
It's not, but it's definitely my first, like, full-length director debut. I started off making a couple short horror films available on YouTube, just shoestring budget, nothing too serious, nothing too crazy. But yeah, I mean, one could say that this is definitely, like, my first crack at full-length film, and also directing like actual, like, not like actors that are really trying to go somewhere, as opposed to just like my friends in a backyard. Mm-hmm. You know, for sure. Yeah, first time.
Nice.
Now, we want to let you know that the movie Voorhees is available for everybody to watch, since it is a fan film, and we have a link in the show notes down below or above, depending on where you're watching or listening to us. We do have the trailer. Would you like to introduce the trailer?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we playing the final trailer?
It's the one labeled official. I think it's the one Tony sent me a link for.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was on the YouTube channel. So
yeah,
it's right under the.
Yeah. Is there a way to pull up the final one and play that one? The only reason why I asked for that one is that one's like the highest quality version, better sound, things like that. If not, yeah. But if not, roll. Go ahead and roll.
So, let me play this, and then I'll grab that while that's playing, and we'll play that in a little bit as well. Here we go. Awesome.
Are you sure you have time for this?
Alina, are you kidding me? Come on, I know how important today is.
I'll be back in a few minutes. I need to do this by myself. Miss you, Dad.
We gotta get off this road. They're gonna start sending choppers after us any minute.
They're not looking for us, dumbass. They're looking for the bikes.
I know, okay? Just get us the fuck off this road.
So this place we're going, it's safe. right?
Please, just let us go. To your old daughter at home.
This place, you guys, is our sanctuary. It's just one fucking night. All we have to do is make it until morning. The sun comes up and the heat is off. We'll have more money than we've ever dreamed of.
Those fuckers ain't gonna track us now. No matter what.
Here.
Some dumbass kids drowned here years back.
Okay, go!
There we go. I was able to find the final trailer. I got that loading right now, so that should be ready to go in a couple minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what made you come up with this idea? Like, were you a Friday the 13th fan beforehand, and you're like, you know, let me take a shot at this? Or what got your, you know, the juices flowing to make a film like this?
There's a lot of reasons, actually. The first one, obviously, is I'm just a massive Friday the 13th fan. Grew up loving the franchise. Always had, just always wanted to take a shot at Jason. And the other big thing was, I remember I was sitting online one day, and let's be honest, we haven't got a film in 10 years, right? 2009 was the last time we got a crack at one of these. And I remember just kind of scrolling through social media and just seeing so many just like disappointed fans. Just like, why aren't we getting a new film? What's going on? Lawsuit this, lawsuit that. And by all means, I know we're nowhere near Hollywood standards, but I kind of was with a group of friends. I remember standing up. I had a beer in my hand, slammed it on the table. I was like, guys, we're making a Jason movie. We're doing this by the fans, for the fans. Let's just try to make Jason scary again was what I wanted to do. And also just bring a new story to Camp Crystal Lake. We've seen the horny teenagers getting killed one by one. Don't get me wrong. We love those movies. But I just thought it would be cool. Like, you never seen Jason kill people who actually deserve to die. And I also just want to state that in my mind, Jason's not an anti-hero. I can see why people would say that. But in my opinion, a bus full of nuns can show up at Camp Crystal Lake and he's going to kill them all. I'm sorry. That's just the way it's going to be. But I just wanted to bring a new story. And I'm just a massive fan. And I just kind of wanted to bring his balls back, honestly. He got a little soft there. We've seen him in space. He's in New York City. It's like, so let's get out of that and bring him back to his roots.
Emily is asking, when are you starting your next movie?
I just got back from Chicago literally today for a project. I'm also a full-time actor. We got some things in the works. We're pitching some ideas to some investors. Finally, we got people that are willing to work with us. And that was kind of also the point of making this film was let's show people what we can do with $20,000 and imagine what we could do with $50,000 or $100,000. So nothing is set in stone yet, but we're kind of pitching some things over to some of these investors and producers, but I think things are looking good for some other upcoming projects for us.
Nice. Well, looking at your IMDb, you're in Bloody Summer Camp. We had those guys on, a little while back. And plus, you know, we've had Felicia on a bunch of times. So it's cool. I mean, it's good to see that, you know, actor is kind of branching out, especially because you seem like a young guy. I mean, that's good. This is the time to do it. And for this being your first feature, I mean, I thought it was great. Like, again, nothing against Friday the 13th. I love it as well, but this could have been a standalone movie on its own. Is there something that made, like, in the back of your mind, you kind of wish that you didn't do it as a Friday the 13th homage, just so that way you could actually get it out there? I mean, yeah, it's out there for free right now, but I mean, you could, you know, possibly make money to make the next one, as opposed to trying to find, you know, investors and stuff like that. You wish you did anything different, I guess?
I could see why you would say that. Like, you know, it's a very different approach to Friday the 13th. It's you take Camp Crystal Lake and Jason out of the equation, and it's pretty much an original film. Yes and no. I mean, look, again, going, just a massive fan of this franchise, just kind of wanted to see Jason go up against some different characters. We immediately had our own kind of Jason design. We knew that we wanted the kills to be good. But, you know, again, this was just a labor of love, made by the fans for the fans. Just mm-hmm. wanted to take a crack at it. It's like, the franchise is going to do it. You know, fans, we're going to step up, you know, until they listen, you know. And I think they should actually pay attention. There's a lot of great fan films out there, actually, and they should take some notes, I think, because screw all this CGI bull crap and stuff, you know. I mean, fans want 100% practical effects, and they want Jason back, and, you know, we did our best that we could with what we had. But again, I can see why you would say that, but no, I don't regret going with what we...
I kind of go both ways. I mean, I think it's a solid movie, definitely. And the one thing I could see as a benefit is obviously fans of the franchise are going to be able to see your work and like your work. So mm-hmm. they're going to continue. Like, I'm totally sold. Like, I'm totally like, okay, what is he going to do next? Kind of deal. So mm-hmm. I'm sold. But at the same time too, it's like, you know, whatever. I'm just being dumb. But I think it's solid. Like, it, you know, when you hear fan films, sometimes you're like, oh geez, what do we got ourselves in? Whatever. But like, it was like, it was quality, like from beginning to end, the whole thing was quality. Like,
thank you.
You know, even if it's like lower budget, it's still lower budget, but you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like you're able to work with what you had and made it look great, I thought.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so how has the, like, you know, response been, like from the fans and, you know, from supporters or whatever, like how's it been going with that?
Honestly, it's been outstanding. I mean, as of doing this live stream, the film was released on Halloween and we're sitting at over 178,000 views. Kane Hodder, I've spoken to Kane Hodder, CJ Graham, and the fans. I mean, the fans have been so supportive. I mean, I'm filled with a lot of gratitude. I'd say that it's doing very well. We're just filled with so much gratitude, man. We're just proud to be here. You know, we're just fans that decided to pick up a camera. That's all, you know. We knew that we didn't want to make any monetary gain off of this, because you can't, obviously, you'll get your hands slapped. But this is just a labor of love, man. But no, the fans have been right there backing us up. The other YouTubers review the Friday 13th franchise, Bloody Disgusting, all those guys have been writing about it. And we're humbled, man. This has been a phenomenal experience for us, and it's just awesome. We're happy.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm psyched for you too.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
I mean, it's one that, you know, I have friends that I'm like, oh, you know, I'm gonna watch this, and they're like, oh, I'm like, no, you got to check it out though. You gotta check it out. It's not like a 15 minute thing where just some guy with a crappy mask. Like, it's good.
Right.
So I'm sold on whatever you got coming out. So I'll keep my eyes to the internet, I guess, is what I would do.
And I think it was like perfect timing too. At this point in time, you know, throughout the year, people are looking for movies to watch because of this whole, you know, pandemic, and they're looking for something new. I think we've had plenty of people in the indie industry, and we've mentioned, you know, people are looking for something different, not only because there's nothing else to watch, but, you know, maybe people have gotten so tired of stuff. So I think, you know, especially putting it out on Halloween and the fact that people are looking for more stuff, I think it was like one of the one of the more perfect times to, I think, drop it.
Yeah.
So I think it worked out in your favor, too.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I just appreciate everybody just... I know it's not perfect. You know, it is a fan film at the end of the day, but we just appreciate people just giving it a chance. You know, this is just a film to hopefully hold us over until the franchise in Paramount or whoever has the rights when it all just comes to a close. You know, just to kind of keep people occupied and until we get one of these things. You know what I mean? That's all.
Who knows? Maybe the right person will see it and they'll be like, hey, you know what? This guy Cody's got some good ideas. But let's hook him up with the next one or something. I don't know. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be. Do you think you would continue like with some Friday the 13th, like some more like fan films, or do you want to go a different route?
You know, we definitely want to do some original stuff for a little while. You know, kind of show people what, you know, here's got some other, maybe some new slasher ideas, some other horror ideas. And also just, I'm a big fan of just all genres, even like drama. You know, we want to kind of tackle a lot of different things with our little small team that we have and just keep content coming out, staying busy. And, you know, we're just film nerds, you know, this is what we love to do, you know? But you know, I mean, who knows? We'll see what the future holds. See if people want more, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I noticed like I was going through all the names at the end with the Indiegogo perks and stuff like that.
Right.
I noticed Billy Pond was in there a couple times and I was like, I was all excited for Billy to be in there.
Yeah, Billy. Yeah. He's been really great. Adam Marcus, Jason Goes to Hell was also a backer.
Nice.
Yeah, Billy Pond's the man. Circus of the Dead is a wild ride.
Oh yeah.
Kudos to him, and I hope he's doing well out there. I know he's not to put his business out there. I know he's going through some rough things, so I hope he's doing well.
He's a friend of the show as well. So like,
awesome. Yeah, awesome.
We keep in touch. But yeah, he's doing pretty good right now. So
that's
so
good.
That's a plus. Good. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it just made me happy, and it's good to see like the horror community kind of, you know, helping. You know,
yeah.
Like the directors that are doing cool things are like supporting other cool directors. So that's great to see.
Yeah.
Now you said you did some acting before. Did it help you at all with, you know, directing and knowing what, you know, other directors might have looked for, or was it a whole new experience, or how'd that all work?
Yeah, actually, I talk about that all the time. It absolutely helped because I know how sometimes when you're out there filming as an actor, like it doesn't always work when you say the line verbatim off the script, you know, because everybody has their own way of making it seem natural and their own way of speaking. And this is how I would say it. So it absolutely did, coming from an actor standpoint. And there was many times where I would just tell the cast, like, how would you say this before we start rolling the cameras? And they would say, well, honestly, I would say it like this. And I always said, let's do a couple takes by the script and let's do a couple just how you would say, how you're going to say it. And I never direct on the first take. I let the actors do whatever they want on the first take. And then after that, after we yell cut, then we start talking about it. But yes, it absolutely did help. I feel like as a director, you have to almost know about acting because you have to feel like put yourself in their shoes and see where they're coming from. And the point of acting, right, is you want it to be as natural as possible and you want your actors to deliver that. You know, but also you want to tell the story. There's a lot of improv that goes into filmmaking, you know. You see it all the time on these scripts that's like, oh, they didn't really say it like that, but they still got their point across. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just about, you know, making it natural, movie making, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And going in back into like the script and, you know, even the characters, like I same deal. Like it's like everyone was solid. Like everyone was really good. And are these people that you've worked with in the past, or did you like do regular auditions for this, or how did that all work?
Yeah, some of them are upcoming actors. Some of them have been in some things. One of the guys is actually my cousin. He's not an actor at all, but the only reason why I cast him because I knew we could beat the shit out of him and he wouldn't complain. You know, he's the guy who got the machete thrown at him in the barn, who also got the spoiler alert hammer in the head.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I cast him is because we knew we could beat the Crapple. But in all honesty, I thought he and everybody else did pretty good for what it is. And I know sometimes people critique the acting in our film, but since when did Friday the 13th have good acting?
Right. Like, yeah. Yep.
When
it doesn't make it a bad movie. Like, I still love the movie, but yeah, there's some pretty bad acting in some of the earlier Friday the 13ths for sure. But I mean,
that's the thing is that
I think this definitely, like, I think this holds up, like, as a in even later in the franchise. Like, I think the acting is much better than, like, I would say the first few movies for sure. I mean, not character in the first few movies is horrible, but there's a lot of not great. But I thought everyone was solid in this. There's a lot of cool choices. It's like a lot of sometimes you'll see like, okay, these people are obviously a group of friends. They all look kind of similar and they all look like they come from the same area. But that wasn't really the case in this. Like it really seemed like people from different areas, you know, that may not necessarily be in the same spot at the same time. So, I mean, it's a little more natural, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
I do have the second trailer lined up, so I'm going to play that. And if I bounce away, it's only because I'm trying to fix a connection issue, but it shouldn't interfere with the trailer running. Here we go.
No one is going anywhere. This place, you guys, this place is our sanctuary. It's just one fucking night. All we have to do is make it until morning. When the sun comes up, the heat is off, we'll have more money than we have ever dreamed of. It's safe, right?
So I do have to say, I didn't have any issue with the first trailer, but yeah, that one was a way better trailer, but the first one was still good. I was like, I don't understand. Yeah, whatever. But yeah, that was a pretty solid trailer right there.
Yeah. I personally loathe the first trailer, mostly because it was cut in a cheaper editing software. The sound mixes off, and it was before we had our campaign post-production funds. And yeah, that final trailer we wanted to show, we put that out on October 1st, 2020, just to show, like, right before the film dropped, like, screw those first two trailers, this is what the movie's going to look like, as opposed to what those first two. But the first two, not to bash those, they did do their job. So, but yeah.
You got people to back it. So, yeah, it worked. Yeah, totally worked. Yeah. So how long from beginning to end did this whole process take? From the idea till the Indiegogo to, you know, whatever, to, you know, till the actual release of the movie, how long did it take you?
Short answer is about 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, we came up with the concept in 2017. Well, it came up with several different concepts. We have the typical, I call it the bubblegum version, which is your typical just Friday the 13th formula, very cliche, but fun. And we've bounced around between that and this heist version for almost a year. Just making adjustments to the both of them as we went. We finally came to the conclusion we wanted to go with this heist version. We knew it was bold. We knew it was different, but it was refreshing. And we did our crowdfunding, and for both the for two campaigns, we ended up raising about $14,000, but then we ended initially ended up going out of pocket to finish the film. It ended up being about $23,000 to finish that was the total filming budget, and then probably another $8,000 into post production. It was, that all happened in about 2.5 years.
Wow.
So
all for a fan film. Like, it's all like it, but at the same time too, it's a well-received fan film. So,
well, you know. Yeah. Well, again, we believed in it, and we, you know, we all had jobs and families and schools, but we believed in it. We it was fun. You know, there was something exciting about hopping in a van on Friday afternoon, driving out to set, filming, then coming home and putting all this footage together. Like, oh, look what we got this week. And this, like, this was our golf, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It was a blast.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Kevin's mentioned it many a times where, you know, we are movie fans, but we've never made anything. So a lot of these times, you know, I'm sure you're getting a lot of, you know, great feedback and stuff, but then I'm sure you'll get these people that think they know everything and bash it. And it's just like, you don't, you know, before doing this podcast, I've said it many a times that I don't want to say I was a cynical critic or anything like that, but I didn't look at movies the way I do now. And it's just like, if they knew, you know, you were shooting this on the weekends while you were doing, you know, full-time jobs and whatever, I mean, you have to, you know, it's not your multi-million dollar budget where they have 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks to sit down and shoot it. So it's one of those things where whatever flaws, which there weren't many, you have to, you know, give you guys full out credit because, you know, like Kevin said many a times, it's better than anything we've ever done. So,
yeah.
And you know, I appreciate you saying that. And, we know that everyone's going to like it. Like I said before, I mean, we shot this movie with one camera. I think that's worth mentioning.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So one camera to get all of those shots was just mind boggling, you know, and it made the shooting days even longer because it was like, okay, we got this great angle. Now let's do it all over again. Cause I got to get this guy's reaction and then cut to your wide shot or your establishing shot. And yeah, one camera to think about all those shots is tedious. And it's crazy because people, when you watch movies, they go by so fast, but sometimes they have no idea. It's like, this shot took hours to set up and you only see it for 2 seconds maybe in a movie. You know what I mean?
I'll be completely honest. I mean, I'm shocked to hear that was one camera, because one of the things I did notice is that I thought that the cuts were very good, you know, it seemed like a step above a lot of like the indie stuff that I see, you know. Mm-hmm. Nothing against those, but I mean, it seemed like, you know, then I was going to try IMDb. I'm like, all right, so he's an actor. So like, he knows what's up there as well. So maybe that was helping with that. But to hear that it was one camera, that's insane. Hopefully you'll be able to get another camera. So that way, I mean, you do something else. You're just like, all right, now we have two cameras. This is going to be awesome. This was awesome too. But yeah, there's something to be said for that for sure.
So, what type of camera was it, and what did you use for editing?
We shot on nothing fancy, just Canon AD. You can go out and buy it at Target or Best Buy. But the one thing people always forget is not always the camera, but it's also the glass that you put on the lens. And we actually bought some really nice cinematic lens. We only had two pair of them because that's all we could afford. But we had our, you know, our wide angle look, and then you have like that kind of more zoomed in look. But the other thing is people are making movies on their cell phones nowadays, right? It's not always about how expensive you don't need these red cameras and all these Aris, you know, $50,000 cameras. If you know what you're doing and you can paint a picture and make it look nice, I don't care what it is. If you got a good shot, you got a good shot, you know. Yep.
If you have a good story as well,
a good story
and the right people telling that story, you know, right. It can look like garbage. I mean, like there's some of my favorite movies are absolute, like, just, they look horrible, you know, like,
yeah.
They're just, you know, student films basically. And they're, you know, they're, they're just not great, but there's something about them that connected me. So, yeah, I mean, it's all a matter of the content. It's not how you can polish a turd so much.
Yeah.
And then you have me. Sorry. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'll stop.
And I didn't get a chance to answer the second part. And we cut the film in Adobe Premiere Pro. So.
Is that what you use, Leo?
I use Premiere, but I've actually started going back to Final Cut for another project I'm working on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I used to use Final Cut for a while, and then it had a big crash, and then I went to Premiere. I love Premiere, you know, how CC interacts with, like, Photoshop and everything. You know, it's all meshes really well together. But trying to dip my toes a little bit back into Final Cut.
Nice.
Now, Kevin was mentioning how he likes to go and, you know, see director's progression. So with this film, I mean, putting it out for, you know, a whole bunch of people to see, I'm sure a lot of those fans will do the same. They want to now, you know, they saw what you could do on, you know, a $20,000 budget. If they, you know, the next one's fan, you know, fronted or whatever, like an Indiegogo, I'm sure that 20,000 will turn into double just to see, you know, what you can do, like you were mentioning, with, you know, a bigger budget. So I think, you know, the fanfare that you're getting now is probably going to help that, you know, come to, you know, fruition.
Yeah. Yeah, we hope so, man. You know, that was, again, like I said earlier, that was kind of the point, was let's show people what we can do with 20,000. Of course, it would have been nice to have more, but in all honesty, I sometimes like working with the smaller budgets because it makes you you got to get more creative with things, right? It's like, I remember just like there were certain kills that was like, well, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that. It's like, well, it's okay if this kills off screen because we can just put a whole bunch of blood there and let the imagination take over here. Or, you know, the locations that we had really helped, I think, with a lot of our stuff too. But yeah, it would be nice to have more money, of course. And that's what I'm trying to say here is the point is like, let's make this movie and hopefully people believe in it and say, wow, I wonder what else these guys can do. Let's talk to them. So.
Well, also, you know, we had a director on last week, and it just takes one person, just the right person, to see your work. And, you know, he did a movie for $50,000, and he was doing, what was he doing, a conference? And, you know, what company saw his film?
It was, I forget. He was at Universal, I think.
Yeah, and, one higher-up saw his film and, you know, was shocked that he made his movie with $50,000 and said, hey, come work for us. We want all your movies. Let's see what you do with $200,000.
Yeah.
And
they're just distributing all his movies. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, you already have your foot in the door because you have people like Kane, you know, that have checked it out and enjoyed it. And, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, I think it's a big deal. But yeah, so that's huge. So besides Voorhees, you know, you're an actor as well. What do you have coming out? Is there anything you'd like to talk about that you have coming out?
Yeah. Voorhees kind of took over a lot of other projects, but now I'm starting to put my foot back into the water a little bit. I did wrap filming. I actually play a lead role in Bloody Summer Camp with Felissa Rose and Dave Sheridan from Scary Movie. Mm-hmm. Just wrap that up. I just got back from Chicago today, like I was saying earlier. I'm actually that's a Halloween fan film, also crowdfunded. It is a direct sequel to H2O. And then I have some other projects coming up that I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say anything, so I'm gonna not say anything at all. But there's some really cool stuff coming up. I'm glad because now I'm finally get a chance to really travel as an actor. Like I said, I just got back from Chicago. I'm being in New York next month, and then I'll be in Canada and then filming some stuff here in DC. So it's fun to finally get to travel and do what you love. You know, I've been fantasizing about this for a long time. It's finally some doors are starting to open up. So I just hope to continue to stay busy and stay humble and just have fun.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out Bloody Summer Camp for sure. I'm
yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah, it seems it. I see that the Haddonfield Nightmare is
that's great. Yeah. Yeah,
and that's coming out next year. Are you a lead in that, or is it just like a bit part?
No. I'm not a lead, but I'm in that, how do I say without spoiling it? I'm just one of those guys who's with this big friend group. It's like okay. A big friend kind of thing. But I'm not a lead, no. But okay. The cast in that is doing a phenomenal job. Those guys are shooting on some really good cameras. They had some phenomenal locations. I'm just honored to be a part of it with those guys and everything else we got coming up.
Cool. Nice.
Mm-hmm. I think Leo mentioned it. I don't remember if you mentioned you. I think you might have mentioned it off camera. But the other thing about Voorhees that I like a lot is because you could tell it's like it's for the fans. It's you know, it's heart behind it too. Mm-hmm. Like nowadays, there's movies that you could tell we're just making it to make some money. We're just going to throw it out there, and you mm-hmm. know, if it's good, it's good, whatever. But there's other movies, a lot of the indie stuff that you could tell there's heart behind it. So I think that adds to the whole, you know, the way people feel about the movie, especially I know it sounds like Kevin really liked it. I really liked it. So you could definitely tell the difference between a movie that was made with passion as opposed to the, okay, we're just making a movie to make it and, you know,
yeah.
just throw it out there.
Yeah, you know, we just made this movie because we're fans of the franchise. We took it serious, of course, but we also just had fun, you know. That's what these fan films are, you know. You can't make any money off it. You got to go in with your heart on your sleeve, right? And it's just simply made by the fans for the fans. You know, we had a good time making it, and I'm just glad people like yourselves and everyone else are enjoying it. And I'm glad that the hard work and the passion comes through. Because we worked our butts off for sure, so I appreciate you saying that.
Now, is there any risk of the big wigs coming after you at all? Even though you're not making any money, mm-hmm. Is there still any risk of that? Or did you cover all those bases before you like started everything?
Yeah, we covered all those bases before we started anything. The biggest thing that I the research that we found with our producers and such was you can't go over $50,000.
Oh.
And we kept that. We knew we were going to make that anyways, so that's easy. Yeah, the obvious thing is just you just can't make any money off of it. We did do physical media. We had the Blu-rays coming out, but all that is literally being paid for itself. It goes to shipping, all that. We can't make any money off of it. So, but the big thing, honestly, was 50 grand. Now I have heard other fan films like I have a couple people I've met on social media that tried to make a Ghostface Scream fan film, and they ended up taking those down. So mm-hmm. I think everybody's, I guess, the rights hold, everyone's different, you know. Mm-hmm. But you go on YouTube and you type, there's a billion Halloween fan films out there, you know. So it's yeah. just like, I guess, you know, I don't know if it's John Carpenter or Blumhouse who owns it now, but like, you know, I guess they don't mind as much. I think everybody's just different. I know for Friday 13th, we couldn't go over 50,000 K, and that was really our only restriction. Other than that, you know.
Now, what if it came down to like if cons were back, you know, like back in full force? I mean, mm-hmm. this would be something that would be awesome to watch in like a room full of fans.
Yeah.
So would they consider that making money if you went and like were to rep this at a con?
Yeah. So we actually just did before the film released to YouTube, we had our quote unquote red carpet premiere here in DC on October 24th, which actually got a standing ovation, by the way. Nice. I think that's worth mentioning. And we ended up getting a check for that. But again, being that we can't make any money, we actually are looking into donating the money that we raise and giving it to like children's hospitals and
awesome.
COVID research, whatever we can do to help out in this day and age with all these problems. So whenever we do get a check for something, it goes right to something like children's hospitals or something. We want to play it safe. We don't want to step on anybody's toes. We just just a group of fans and a group of nerds who love Friday the 13th and Jason Voorhees, man.
That's awesome. That's
now with the there's another what is it, Never Hike Alone?
Uh-huh.
Is another one that you like talk to those guys at all and see what like what, you know, how they did their run, I guess you want to call it, or
I never reached out to them for any advice. But I think I saw the movie like once, maybe twice. I mean, that one came out a few years ago, right?
Yeah. Yep.
We've kind of our paths have crossed with a few of these other fan filmmakers, but I never reached out to them. I didn't want to bother them. I also wanted to just do this on my own. Like if I wanted to figure it out, and I knew I was going to fail a couple times. But you got to fail a couple of times to learn how to do these things, you know? And in fact, I learned so much from Voorhees that I'm like, now I can't wait to go do the next movie just because I've learned so much, you know? But I've had other Friday the 13th fan films that are in the works trying to get this off the ground, and I give them as much support and feedback that I can. And I said, yeah, just go out there and do it. Just be ready for this, be ready for that. Be ready to mess up a few times, you know, because again, it's not all fun and games out there, especially when you're shooting exterior, you know, in the woods, long nights, you know, and we filmed on a lot of real abandoned, all those houses and barns and stuff that you see in the film have been abandoned since the 50s.
Oh, wow.
And we, even our locations threw a lot of challenges at us. Not to mention some supernatural stuff happened a couple of times, which was pretty weird. Yeah. But yeah, we try to engage with all the other fan films, try to help them as much as we can. When they reach out to us, I think that, we should all support each other, you know, and cross promote. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know,
do you want to talk about that supernatural stuff? I'm just curious.
Before you do, let me go over some comments real quick.
Okay.
Old Geezer says Voorhees 2 could be epic. I want to know who the father was at the end since the tombstone only said Voorhees.
Oh.
Raider 1FN says, just want to say hi. Thank you for all the love. I played Derek in the film. Wanted to show Cody I was here.
Hey, man. Hey, James.
And a bunch of other comments come in, but I know we definitely wanted to touch on those. And I know Kevin wants to hear about the spooky stuff.
Yeah, what's the supernatural stuff that happened?
All right, there's a lot that happened, actually. I'll talk about the main two that, till to this day, has no explanation. So like I said earlier, the houses and barns that we filmed in have been abandoned since the early 50s. And there was this one house that was a doctor's house. That no matter anything that we touched or left there would just suddenly disappear. I'm talking like little things. I mean, at first it was like camera batteries and things like that. But then every now and then we'd be exploring upstairs and we'd pick up like this old like washing board, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is cool. But then we just put it back down and come back the next day and realize that was gone. And it was just like little things like an old plate that was left on the table, come back, gone. And this is worth mentioning, we were in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
This was a rough terrain to even get to this location, and it was deep, deep in the woods. I always felt like we were in an Evil Dead movie going through there. But it was in one. I remember one instance, one night we picked up this, we had an axe in the film, if you guys remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, let's leave this behind the staircase. There was a staircase, and we hit it very, very, very well. Come back the next day, that was gone. But not only was the axe gone, the beams that were holding up the house had been chopped away very aggressively. So whatever that was did not want us upstairs, and was, you know, the dangerous part was that if we didn't notice that in time, if we were up there, the whole damn house could have collapsed.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And then probably the weirdest thing that happened out there was there was one night, I said, this is another house, also been abandoned since the 50s. We've been filming in there all night, and it was about 1 a.m., and we still had to go get some coverage over at one of the barns, which is only 45-second walk. You can almost throw a rock to it. So we walk over to the barn. We're shooting some stuff. We're there until about 4 in the morning. Well, we leave. Sun's coming up. I get home probably like 5 a.m. Hop in the shower. I get out and I get this phone call 6:15 in the morning. I'm getting ready to lay down, and the homeowner says, "Hey, were you filming in that old house last night?" And I said, "Yeah, we filmed like a little bit." He said, "Well, did you guys do any, like, did you leave any lights on or anything like that?" And I said, no, we got everything." He said, "Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but the house is burned to the ground. Gone." And the weird thing about that was, again, we were there for 3 or 4 hours after filming in that house, left no lights on. We took everything with us, and we have to drive past that house to leave. We would have saw something. Mm-hmm. So anywhere between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m, this house burned down. Still to this day, they had fire marshals and fire experts out there. And still to this day, they have not cracked the case. No explanation. It's been 2 years and nobody knows what happened.
Well, that's pretty crazy. Good thing you weren't there when it happened. Like, I mean, if it was, you know, something malicious or whatever.
And we did not finish. We were actually supposed to. We had more scenes. You know the scene where the guy finds Pamela's head.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be in that house, but of course we didn't get a chance to do that because for some weird reason. And this place hasn't had electricity since the 50s. Like it was just weird. It was creepy. A lot of other weird stuff happened out there too. But yeah, that was insane.
I would have just asked if I could move in. That would be great.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. So
I just wish I knew it was going to get you on fire so you get a shot of Jason just standing in front of you. Oh, my God, yeah. You know, like,
ridiculous, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who set it on fire. Weird.
That's crazy.
But the other thing, too, now is, you know, there's been so many different actors. You bringing up Jason, and this just popped in my head, but there's been so many different actors to play, you know, Jason. This one just adds a different wrinkle to it because you had, you know, each one played a little bit different. Him, you know, it was a little quicker than, you know, some of the other iterations of Jason's and all that stuff, but it threw a different wrinkle, and I liked it a lot.
Awesome. Yeah. We studied Jason's mannerisms from all the films, like, very, very closely. There was, like, I tried stuff like part 3 and part 4 where he's a lot faster when he would run. And then it's like our guy was so big. And in fact, there's a photo out there with our Jason staring down with Kane Hodder, and he actually towers over Kane.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to find that for you guys. But with our guy being so large, it was like the way he was running, it was a little weird looking. And I wanted him to be fast, but I still wanted him to have this kind of zombie look to him. And in fact, the design that you see in the film wasn't the first design. I ended up making a 3D Photoshop render in After Effects of our Jason. It was like a part 7. He almost had like this kind of venom jacked but nasty look to him, and it looked awesome. And I was so excited about it. He was like menacing. He was scary and posing. But once we start talking to our effects team, they're like, not only is this going to be several thousand dollars a day, but it's going to take hours and hours to get him into makeup before you guys even start filming. But not to get sidetracked, but yes, we definitely wanted to bring Jason, give him some moves, you know, make him a little more faster. When he wants to be fast, he can be fast. And when he wants to just take his time and stalk, he knows he's going to get you, and he's very relaxed. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
I really want to see that picture of him and Kane. Because Kane's a big dude.
He's not a small guy. Yeah, we met him at a convention 2 years ago. And yeah, that photo's out there. It's on our social media. I can send it to you guys afterwards.
He's a good dude. He's been on the show. And
fantastic guy. Yeah.
He choked me out on the set of Death House. So that was fun. I was terrified. My neck hurt the next day. Like, I don't know. He's just a good dude. Like when I was going to sit down and talk to him, like on the set, he's just like, "Which one of you assholes am I checking out? Or choking out?" I'm like, "That would be me." He's like, "All right, cool." And then he didn't tell me when he was going to do it. He sets up my laugh. He's like, "That wasn't a joke." And he just chest slapped me and choked me out. Oh, this is fantastic.
He's a great guy, man. He's a really great guy. I mean, not even just supporting our film, but just seeing him at conventions, interact with other fans, you know, it just goes to show you that he really cares about this character and this franchise. Yep. He's a great guy.
And his fans. He cares about his fans. Like, he does. It was the biggest thing to me in my life, like that he remembered me. Like when I saw him, oh, hey, the Dorkening. I'm like, oh my God, how did you meet how many people and you remembered me? This is crazy. Like, it's weird. But he's a great dude. And I hope cons come back into town. So, so that way, I can see like all these people again. Like Felissa is the nicest person to run into at a con. And, you know, it's who knows when it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Anyways, now that I brought the whole place down, we're just about the hour. Should we probably get things wrapped up?
Totally. Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody for watching and definitely check out Voorhees. You know, it's something that you can watch right now. There's a link in the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching or listening to us. Now, Cody, I know, where do you like interacting with your fans the most on social media?
We try to bounce around everywhere, try to be fair to everybody, but I definitely think the Facebook group page is where we get the most attraction. But if you're not on Facebook, you can follow us on Instagram, Wet Paint Pictures, as well. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like you said, the film's out there. It's absolutely free. Thank you guys so much for having me, man. This has been a blast. Thank you so much.
Nice. And you said you have some other shorts that are on there as well too, right? On the Wet Paint Pictures.
Yeah. I don't know if those are worth taking a gander at, but they're on there.
Like Tony said, I like to see progression. So maybe I'll go back and I'll just be like, oh wow, look what he turned into. This is awesome. You know,
that's
what I like. So I'll definitely be searching those out.
Thank you again, guys, so much.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Tony.
You can find me at Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews and unboxings and such. Anything movie related is on my YouTube. Tony Has Nine Fingers on Twitter, which I hardly ever use. Tony's Movies on Instagram, where I show off the movies behind me. And here every Tuesday, well, most Tuesday nights here on the Wicked Horror Show. Kevin?
A Knuckle on Instagram. I'm here every Tuesday night. I also do some reviews of the 13th Wolfman over on the audio side of the Wicked Horror Show. Also part of Secret Underground Hideout and Black and White Fright, all of which are on the network. Leo.
And for me, just Google Leo Pond. You find a bunch of stuff. Could be true, could be not. I'm not going to say which is which. But more importantly, go check out Voorhees. And if you want to learn more about, you know, the stuff we do, head on over to thedorkening.com. You can find 30 shows on the network, which is absolutely insane. For me, I do a show on Monday, this show on Tuesday, and two shows on Wednesday, which is insane. With that, we'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Bye, everybody. We're almost done.